Hello and welcome to The Trunk Show. I'm your host, Allison Howell, here to talk with leading professionals about their event rental businesses, hard-earned wisdom, and ongoing adventures in the industry. The show is brought to you by RW Elephant, mighty inventory management software designed to help you conquer the chaos in your event rental business and reclaim your creativity, because the world needs more of the beautiful events and environments you create. In this episode, you'll hear my conversation with Holly and Charlie, owner-operators of Locate to Create, the 2024 National Venue Stylist of the Year award-winning company. Their design expertise is complemented by an eclectic portfolio of timeless pieces powered by a model of reclaiming and reuse. Holly and Charlie are partners in business and in life. You'll hear about the dynamics of building a successful business and a whole bunch of interesting insight from our friends across the pond. All right, let's dive in.
Yeah, so we are Charlie and Holly, and we run and own Locate to Create, which is a prop hire, furniture hire, and event styling business. So we do specialize in vintage, rustic, boho items, but we also like to introduce more modern items so that we can mix items from all eras, creating like timeless looks for our clients.
Wonderful. And where are you located and what area do you serve?
So we're located in the southeast of England, but unlike the US, England's relatively small, so we do travel quite far. Predominantly we do sort of cover Kent, Surrey, Sussex, Essex, London mainly, and that's a pretty big sort of industry and market, the sort of target. So there's plenty of local opportunities. It's not like we're being spread far and wide, and we do travel further afield. We have been to Manchester and down into sort of Devon, that sort of location. It's just dependent on client sort of budget and time of year and bandwidth and capacity.
Well, so Holly, you originally started Locate to Create while you were in your final year at university, right? Tell us about that experience. How did it all come about?
Yeah, so I started it back, I think it was 2017, during my final year of university. I was studying event and marketing at university. And as part of that degree, I had to do a one-year placement. So I was doing a one-year event placement for creative corporate events in London, which I was absolutely loving. But I just felt there was something missing within it. So they were all talking to like massive companies, which if they didn't have what you were looking for on their inventory, then you weren't going to get it. Basically, you had to just keep looking. And at the same time, my mum had a vintage interior shop. And basically, I was at the events company and we were trying to source items, which I knew my mum could get very easily, or she already had.
I think she already had them. It was sort of 10 vintage gold picture frames. And they were saying, we need to get these hired in somewhere. And Holly said, well, my mum can sell them to you. So do you want to buy them off her? And they said, well, we'll pay her the purchase price. Just she's got to get them there and get them back. And then she can retain the asset at the end. So then it was a bit like, hang on a moment, we're sort of selling 10 picture frames and then we keep the asset at the end of it and we can keep sort of rinsing and repeating that sort of model.
That's kind of how the idea came about. And then I went to do my final year at uni and I just thought, do I want to go back into that corporate quick, nonstop working so many hours for someone else? Or do I want to just try and take the leap now and work for myself? And I just felt like the timing, although a bit scary at uni, but you don't have massive financial commitments as you would potentially 10 years down the line. So I just felt like the timing was right. And yeah, I had an amazing mentor who I used to work with, and she just kind of
pushed you in that.
Yeah, she did. She was really encouraging, which is so nice. I reckon if she wasn't there and loads of other people around me weren't encouraging me to do it, there's no way I would have done it. But
yeah. I was going down the more sort of vanilla graduate scheme. I did a placement for like an IT consultancy firm, relatively enjoyed that, was then offered a graduate scheme. So finished off my degree, as did both of us. You went and started your own company, right? And I just went into the sort of grad scheme at an IT consultancy firm, which was hideously boring, not at all what I really
and you all the while you were do. Envious of Holly and her
well, yeah we got him to the wonderful yeah. world of events eventually.
The company grew over the years, didn't it? And I was starting to help out more and more. Obviously I'd work a 9 to 5 midweek, you would be at home working, and then it would get to the weekend and then off Holly would go. She would then be you know, working sort of Friday, Saturday, Sunday and whatever else. So, you know, the time we had together was sort of diminishing quite quickly. So it was sort of, you know, a logical step for me to join sooner rather than later, I suppose. I mean, there's awkward time with COVID, but yeah.
At this point, you've started the business, you're out of university. Did it feel like a big risk as you were sort of, you finished university and you've started this business? Did it feel like, okay, you're jumping in with two feet, or did you have like a side job to kind of pay your bills? Or was this like, you were totally all in? Like, help me understand what was your mentality at that point?
Yeah, so it was pretty much because I started it during my final year of university. So I was still studying. So I didn't have the pressure to have to get a job at that point. So I was kind of working alongside my degree. And that kind of meant that when I finished uni, I would have the basics of a website, the basics of like a business name, the business plan, and had like started my social media and trying to grow and doing a few wedding fairs and just kind of the initial things you do to start. And then I really did just jump straight in, and I was very fortunate. I was living at home. I kind of took that opportunity whilst I had it. The time was right. And if I had waited 5 years or 3 years, then I would have been in a job, would have been used to a salary, would have not wanted to risk that. Whereas because I didn't have a salary, I was really building it up. So I wasn't used to spending the money at the time. So it was very much like a jump in, but it felt quite gradual as well in the nicest of ways.
I joined November 19, obviously of which it was, I suppose, right in infancy, given it being COVID-19, right? You know, I was learning, you know, how to do things, wasn't I? And I was beginning sort of given tasks by yourself. We were sort of sectioning up the workload, and then before you know it, spring 2020, you know, my sort of job was pretty much to handle all of the postponements and cancellations.
Yeah.
And thank the Lord, the majority of them were postponements, which did lead to a very frantic 2021.
Yeah.
But there still were cancellations, of which, you know, your heart goes out to all those clients. But I mean, there are so many small businesses that were just, you know, well, business in general that were decimated during that period.
Although it was bad timing with Charlie joining then, quite likely that I wouldn't have continued, just because having someone there at that moment to deal with all these sad emails, to deal with all these cancellations, to deal with these postponements. If I hadn't have had someone there, I just don't think I would have thought there's any way out of it. But because we were both there, just trying to keep positive, trying to get through it. And we did. So,
and to compound that further, plug here for RW Elephant, we weren't on RW Elephant.
Oh my gosh.
And it was an absolute logistics.
It was like paperwork everywhere, getting each date out, looking at all the events you've got, double checking, like, oh, do they have that? No, can I change that now that I've postponed? Or can I postpone to this date? Well, looking at other, oh my gosh, it was an absolute nightmare. If I had been on RW then, it would have saved us so much time and stress.
So much of my time was wasted on cross-checking and ensuring we could do things. But, you know, with sort of calendar view and obviously the stock checking and everything, it's just made it a million times easier.
Yeah, I can't imagine it now without it.
Well, tell me a little bit about how your relationship and your business relate to one another. Do you feel like the business has brought you closer? Has your relationship grown kind of as the business has grown? Tell me about that.
I think at the start, it was very much like, oh, we weren't sure in our roles in the company. And I was like trying to do everything, trying to teach him at the same time, trying to get through the pandemic.
Yeah.
So it was a lot all at once. But now that we've got our roles completely sorted within the business, we know what each of us does. There is, it just works really, really well.
Yeah. Well, okay. Any stories of tricky situations you've had at the warehouse that you've had to leave at the warehouse before you go home, or things you've had to leave at home before you enter the warehouse? Like, do you have a separation there?
I think also I work quite closely. Well, especially at the start, my mum and dad were very supportive and kind of helped for free at all these events that I did have. And what I really liked and what I always say to my mum is we can be completely honest. So we'd be styling an event and she'd do something, I'd be like, oh, I don't like that. Whereas when you have that, like with a colleague, or we've got a team of stylists now, like it has to be more politely said than that.
Yeah.
Whereas with Charlie, I could just say, no, that's a bad idea. Or we're quite honest, which...
it really hurts my feelings.
But no, normally we're all good. Try and leave work at work.
Yeah.
And...
No, I'd say we're pretty good like that. There's not many, we don't have many big rifts or arguments. But likewise, when I pack the van, I mean, you know, every events person will appreciate that maybe their eyes are bigger than their van, potentially, especially when you're taking jobs, you know, and then I see Holly, how she's packing it, and it's making me wince. You know, I will tell her that she's not packing it particularly well. Likewise, when it comes to styling, if I ever help with that, you know, I let your creative license reign over mine. That's fine. Roles and responsibilities.
Sure. Well, okay, tell me about your role separations. Who does what, and how do you kind of define, where's the water's edge there?
Yeah, so basically Charlie, as you said, does a lot of the logistics, plans how the events are going to happen, basically, and does a lot of the finance, but he also deals with all the inquiries that come in. So any of our dry hire, so I probably should have explained at the beginning, we kind of either offer a dry hire service where clients collect, we deliver items, and then it's kind of down to the clients to get creative with, and then we'll collect them at the prearranged time.
Very simple.
Or we've got our full styling packages or on the day styling packages. So we've got the styling side of the business, which I take full responsibility of and take care of all the clients for that side. And then on the other side, the dry hire side, Charlie also deals with all the inquiries that initially come in and does them through RW. And so that's usually a quicker process than the styling anyway.
But it's a higher turnover, obviously. We have a lot more dry hire inquiries coming in and jobs throughout the entire year. So, you know, naturally that fills up more of my time. And then you've got a more concentrated list of sort of styling clients for the year. Of which you then have a lot of correspondence with over the year.
Yeah, a lot of mood board time. And
I might outnumber it 10 to 1 in terms of workload, in terms of if you look at individual clients. But the amount of emails, you know, you send compared to me would probably be a lot more.
Mm. And do those people self-identify?
So it's quite a sort of distinct process. When a client comes to us, they're either inquiring for sort of styling, of which they'll go straight to Holly, or they're simply wanting items. And if they did switch from X to A to B or whatever, then it's quite an easy process. I mean, again, one of the benefits and beauties of working with your partner, business partner, romantic partner, you know, she's at one end of the desk, I'm at the other one. It's not a particularly difficult task for me to say, oh, Holly, I think she might want styling. Or likewise, you have a styling call, an introduction call, and there's, you know, you might say, no, they're just going to want sort of, you know, the items put in the correct areas, and that's that. So, yeah, there's quite a sort of a natural partition. And then there's a few jobs in between. You know, you are definitely the creative and the driving force behind the company, you know, and it will always be that way. But, you know, often I need to build things or get stuff made or you know, things like that. You know, you're constantly trying to change with the times and whatever the taste and fashion are. And then, you know, I'm the sort of, I suppose, pragmatist.
I'm like, I've got an idea. Yeah. Please, can we make it happen? And Charlie's like, right.
That's going to be difficult.
Yeah. Well, tell me a little bit about how the company has grown. What do you think has driven your growth over the years?
Styled shoots and getting the content, because once we've got the content to put it out on Instagram and TikTok, that for us is key. We get a lot of our business through Instagram. So that really helps the growth and just making sure that we've got the content that we want to share and we want to be proud to share. I mean, I would scroll back to the start of my Instagram and really cringe, but that's probably been a massive part of our growth, like with our Instagram page.
Break that down for me. Like when you say we get the content, so say you do a styled shoot, do you have like a goal of, okay, I want 10 photos from a styled shoot and I'm going to post them in a carousel? Or do you think I want 100 photos from a styled shoot and I want this to be something I'm posting over 2 weeks?
We know now that actually seeing couples on our Instagram page, for example, real couples is fantastic, but actually modeled styled shoot couples, like models, doesn't work as well, whereas people kind of just want to really see our products. So we don't post that much of our couples as much as we love them, but it's the products that we're trying to sell and the service. So we found from the styled shoots we've organized, we've not always had models going around the styled shoot. So the pictures that we end up getting are very much product based and the design based, which we find works really well. And what we've also worked out, and it's only taken like so many styled shoots for us to realize that we're not getting what we need out of them. But now if we're providing items for someone else who's organizing a styled shoot, we give them a list and basically say, we need pictures with and without models. And we're just a bit more picky in the nicest of ways, but just so that we get something out of it as well. We get a lot through word of mouth, which is lovely because it means we're kind of doing something right. And it's not just us having to pay for Instagram ads and all of that jazz.
Hey, fellow event rental adventurer. I'm going to pause the show for a minute and tell you a little bit more about the show's sponsor, RW Elephant. RW Elephant is mighty software that helps you manage your rental inventory, generate proposals, avoid double bookings, send invoices, gain powerful insight into your business's profitability, and more. It was designed, in part, by me for boutique event rental companies of all shapes and sizes. But you probably don't want to hear about how great it is from the person who helped create it. How about someone who's actually using it every day in their rental business?
We recommend using RW Elephant from the very beginning of starting your rental company. We didn't start using RW Elephant until 6 months into the business of getting started. And if we had had it from the very beginning, it would have made such an easier transition as we were growing rapidly to have that software.
I agree. I would also say, though, that like if you have started a rental business and you don't have a software, just get it ASAP. It really will make things so much easier in the long run.
It's been so key to us as we have grown from nothing into a 3-location business.
My favorite thing, honestly, is the loading checklist for an order. I just think it takes the stress out of my job. And now it's just like a really fun process.
You can find more information about RW Elephant online at rwelephant.com. Or you can find a link to the website in the show notes.
What have been some of your most successful investments that you've made in your collection over the years?
Oh my gosh. Well, there's one example of which was Holly and I were actually taking a break into the Isle of Wight, weren't we? And Holly's mum was out buying for us and she found like a pink sofa set. It's our Rachel and Rosie sofa set, Pretty in Pink, on our website. And she took a photo, didn't she? I think she was in the car. I don't think
she was leaving.
She was leaving. And she said, like, oh, I've just seen the sofa set. Someone literally wants to get rid of it. I think it was for like £20 or something. Wasn't it?
Something crazy.
So then you were like, you need to go back. You need to get that. That is like amazing. You know, it looks beautiful, whatever, whatever. She ended up going back to get it. And now that's probably been out like 50 odd times, probably as a package, £200 a package, right? So a return on investment for a £20 investment, you know, 50 times 200 isn't too bad.
If only they were all like that.
Yeah.
But that is probably our best product buy. Another funny story is probably about our Maria double peacock chair. I was searching, this was very much at the start of the company, and I was searching high and low for an original double peacock chair. I could not find it anywhere. And it was literally months of searching. I finally found one online. And she was like, sorry, someone might come collect it, but I'll let you know if they don't. And I said, oh, I will buy everything, because they were selling like a collection of stuff. I was like, I'll buy everything if I could have that chair. And she then sold it to us because I had to then go collect all the other stuff that she was selling that I had no idea that I wanted. But
yeah. Sometimes you got to take the good with the bad in order to get that diamond in the rough, right?
That is it. No, that is literally it. And we took a lot of bad, but that's
yeah, we did take the bad.
Wow. Well, so in addition to offering hire items, you also offer styling services. Well, tell us a little bit about what that entails, because that's a whole separate entity, right? I mean, it's the same business, but
Absolutely. It's
really a separate service in and of itself.
We send our couples a questionnaire for our full gold styling package, this is. And we really try and identify what seasonal personality they are. So that way we can really create an intentional design for them. So it's not just, oh, look at Pinterest, find some pictures and make a one-page mood board. We go into so much depth, and it's just trying to explain to our couples how much depth and how intentional our mood boards are for them as a couple and how personalized we try and make it.
And it's very much led from the client towards us. As Holly said, it's sort of an interview process. You've got the questionnaire. You're trying to identify, what makes them tick, essentially.
And the process that I kind of follow is more like an interior design process, rather than a wedding process. But actually, we found that kind of makes us stand out from the crowd a bit, because we're not just looking at it from trends. We're trying to work out what brands they like, what kind of textures they like, and kind of go into way more detail. They probably think, why does this girl need to know this? But actually, it really helps create a super intentional design for the couple. Yeah. And has helped us become Venue Stylist of the Year. So
Well, tell me about that award. You won that award this year, National Wedding Stylist of the Year for 2024. Tell us about getting that award. Was that a surprise? Is that something you've been longing for years? Was this a goal you were going after, or how did it come about?
You know, it was a bit like, yes, you're shocked to get the award at the end of it, but at the same time, you put in so much effort. You know, we speak to our clients pre, during, and post event, and they're all absolutely over the moon. So it's like, you know, when people say, are you really shocked? And we were really shocked to win it. But at the same time, it's like, well, we know we offer a good service, you know, and the clients are extremely happy. So yeah, to sort of break down how the process works, you sort of need to enter the competition, don't you? A lot of it is client feedback based. So we say how many events we've done. Those clients then need to populate and provide feedback on sort of our services.
We submitted some videos and pictures. And the regional ones are a bit, they were very good fun, but it's more that you know who's around. So you know the competitors you're kind of against. So it's a bit more like awkward. We were like, we really want to win this kind of thing. But when we went to the national one, like, we were already over the moon that we'd won regional Southeast Wedding Stylist of the Year. So for us to go to the national one, we had no idea really who we were against, because yes, they're competitors, but because of the radius, they're not really that local to us. So it was just a lovely surprise.
It was.
The lovely thing is that you get all the client feedback as well. So everyone that's voted like gives you all the feedback. And yeah, it's really, really nice. So even if you didn't win, you still get all this lovely feedback, which is really nice.
So what has the recognition done for the business? Do you feel like it's helped grow the brand?
Yeah, so it's definitely helped grow the brand. What I would say, it's not like we haven't got hundreds and hundreds of new clients from winning National Venue Stylist of the Year, but what we have done is it's definitely given us something to be able to contact new venues with. So some venues are very strict with who they add on their venue supplier list, not too keen on adding new people, even though they just don't put the research in. I think some venues kind of get stuck in their ways, same supplier list. So you're trying to contact venues and they're like, no, sorry, we've got our supplier list, or we're not doing it until next year. And there seems to always be kind of like a battle. Whereas because we've won Venue Stylist of the Year, it just seems to be a really nice openness for us to contact new venues, for us to say like, look, this is the recognition we've got. Please, can we come and do some weddings with you?
Or really good leverage.
It's just kind of given us a really good leverage to contact venues. And within the wedding industry itself, it's been so lovely. Everyone has like congratulated us.
The fellow suppliers and have been very, very sort of, you know, impressed and supporting, haven't they?
Yeah, it's been so lovely. And not only has it been great for business in terms of like getting onto these lists and meeting new people, but it's just been really nice for us to finally get some recognition and for us to say like, we are award winning. It's just definitely helped mentally as well as helped the business grow.
Well, and I think it's really impressive that you use that leverage to build more business. I think it kind of goes back to what you were saying about styled shoots. You know, you've recognized, okay, in order to get the most bang for our buck out of styled shoots, what we have to do is really think about, what are we trying to get here? What kind of shots, what kind of directives do we need to have in order to get what we want out of the styled shoot? And then how do we use these photos in a way that's going to actually benefit our business, right? You're doing the same thing with this award, right? Not just saying, hey, we won an award, but now I'm going, okay, how can I get more out of this opportunity? Okay, I'm going to go to these venues who haven't given me the time of day before. And I'm going to say, hey, these other people recognized us. can I get my foot in the door now? Sometimes when we get an award or we achieve something in our business, we say, okay, check that off, on to the next thing. But it can be so valuable for us to say, okay, I got this thing, or I achieved this thing, or I have this thing in front of me. How can I squeeze more out of it so that I can get all of the benefit or value out of this thing that I already have before I move on to the next marketing opportunity, or before I move on to the next thing, or before I invest in the next phase, right? Because if I can get more out of this thing that I've already done before I go and spend more money or more time or invest in the next thing, man, that's going to get me farther.
I totally agree with that. And that is something we've learned over the years. It's being quite strategic with what venues we sort of contact and what venues we would like to work at. We never want to be the sort of company where we're doing thousands of events every year. So it's very important to us to identify sort of very strategic venues to try and, you know, penetrate and do a higher proportion of their sort of, you know, yearly total events. And as you say, having that leverage to get in there and actually capture those, for us, that's a far more valuable way of doing business and expanding business. You know, obviously it is great to have lots more inquiries for styling, you know, nationwide, but if somebody wants it in Aberdeen, a styling job, there's a very small chance we can do it in Aberdeen. Whereas if we contact, you know, and get in, you know, our foot in the door within sort of venues within a sort of hour of us, you know, that creates really, really good operational efficiencies.
Well, to shift gears just a little bit, whether on the styling side or when it comes to adding to your collection, where do you look for creative inspiration?
I mean, this is totally not my question, Alison. I don't want to shock you. And
I try my best not to take too much of our inspiration from weddings themselves. Pinterest is an amazing tool, and I say this to all our clients, but it really is a rabbit hole, and you can end up just trying to copy pictures. And that is not what we want to do. Like, we want to stay original. So I really try, and even from like looking at shop windows, take inspiration from that, looking at fashion, looking at home interior designs. Interior is definitely kind of one of my passions, and kind of going to antique fairs and taking the time to say, well, I might not need anything specific that I can get at this antique fair, but me going really helps inspire me, come up with new ideas, and kind of looking at a vintage item thinking, well, how else could we use that? And so that is where I take a lot of inspiration.
We've got sort of things like an old-fashioned bike that we've turned into a bar. Well, actually, we bought that, didn't we? Mm. But just sort of quirky, sort of semi-industrial, farm-based sort of products like that that can be sort of reconditioned and slightly tweaked and altered to become an actual sort of functional item within the wedding day. You know, drinks reception is a great idea or great opportunity for that. And we've got some lovely suppliers and caterers that we work with quite closely. And they're always saying, like, oh, we need, like, you know, new creative ways, you know, to display all of our, you know, lovely treats during the sort of drinks reception or whatever.
Everyone's going to have drinks and food at that drinks reception. How can we take that and display it creatively, or kind of come up with a prop that is useful for that, but also looks great, and it creates a photo opportunity, and then all the guests are taking pictures, and that is what couples love. So practical and pretty, I always say. And that's kind of, we really try and focus on that as a company, kind of coming up with those ideas like confetti. A lot of people are going to have that confetti for their ceremony. It's kind of coming up with different ways which confetti can be thrown or shown or displayed, shall I say.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question about each other now. Holly, think of Charlie. Charlie, you're going to tell us about Holly. I want you to tell us one characteristic or skill that your partner has really grown in since the beginning of this business.
I would say for Holly, an area that she's definitely improved on is, not to beat the same drum again, but it's functionality and higher ability of products that she's definitely become a bit more aware of. I mean, often she would go to antiques fairs, buy things in the auction, she'd bring it back to the unit, and maybe this time I'd be working at my IT job or whatever, and then she would show me it and say, you know, oh, it needs like a bit of work or whatever else, and you would look at it and it would be like a 60-year-old ladder, for example, and all of the wooden sort of like, you know, mortise and tenon joints have like totally like rotted out, and it's like, oh, we can just fill it with filler, and it's like, well, that's not going to be as good as just buying, you know, spending twice as much and having a product that's going to last much longer. And you've definitely become a little bit more savvy to that, where it's not just like, what's the cheapest product in this category we can get that'll do? It's more so like, what's the most, you know, reliable, sturdy, you know, obviously still has to look beautiful, whatever else. But, you know, there's that hire ability and, you know, the ability to hire it several times is definitely something you've got a lot better at, I would say.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think for Charlie, motivation, I think, would be his thing. Like, well, at the start, it was my baby, the business. So, it was almost like I was just trying to push him to be motivated and it just didn't happen. Whereas he's really just like, as the company's grown, as he's grown within the company and really like been as on board as I am, his motivation to grow it and his commitment and dedication to do it has 100% increased and improved.
I'm going to caveat that, Alison, because, you know, when I'm not very motivated at the start, you know, well, obviously I did join on slightly unprecedented grounds. It wasn't particularly planned or well thought out. Hands up, my fault entirely. But to the same extent, you'd give me tasks to do, of which you would have this sort of wacky system in your mind of how to do a task, of which you had very little explanation or time to explain it. And then you'd be surprised that I would not arrive at the same outcome that you would. And then it would be like, well, hang on a moment, let's just break down what you do. Again, some of that was massively streamlined, wasn't it? A lot of the process that you were doing, you know, when we sort of looked at it and sat down together, it was a bit like, you know, we're wasting so much time. There's so many, you know, duplications of information input and whatever else. Again, another plug for RW Elephant, massively streamlined the company. but, you know, that was something that you weren't particularly good at explaining to me. So when you say I wasn't motivated,
it's a good thing. You're very, very motivated now and very dedicated to the business, which has definitely grown. Yeah. So yeah, that's the...
And then obviously I do a lot of the delivery. So there's a massive chunk of my time is, you know, dedicated behind the wheel, which isn't particularly fun or, you know, whatever else. But, you know, it's the way it goes.
Well, okay. Well, who are leaders that you've learned from as you've grown your business? I know, Holly, you mentioned that both your parents have been pretty involved and your mom has owned her own business. I assume they've been pretty influential for you.
Yeah, 100%. They have been. Well, I wouldn't have probably started this. Well, I couldn't have done because I couldn't have lived at home. So they have 100% been massively influential on the growth of it. Tricky question. Good question. I think there's just so many people, even like suppliers within the industry, although they've not like known our whole journey, the fact that they've been there and they've been supportive has been like massive, I think.
Yeah. And I mean, because we're together all the time, a lot of that encouragement comes from each other.
Yeah.
You know, which sounds a bit cheesy, but you know, it's not.
No,
like...
there's some real camaraderie in this industry. And people, I mean, just the fact that people refer you is such a boost, right? I mean, we could never do it alone. And then the fact that like people refer you over and over, I mean, it's fun to get to work with your friends, right? But also there's this confidence that you gain from knowing that other people believe in you and continue to refer you. Well, tell us about some of the milestones or moments in your business that you've truly celebrated. What are you most proud of?
I think one of the big ones early on is the units are obviously like massive milestones going from unit to unit to unit. And as Holly said, the price, if you know, if you were going to go to sort of a general industrial estate, you're going to be paying a particularly high premium to get the sort of square footage that we want. So we're always looking for slightly more interesting sort of setups in terms of storage, whether it be on a farm or something related to a family friend or something like that. So when we found storage units that fit the bill over the years.
Oh, it's felt so good.
I remember the first one we had.
You feel like you kind of beat the system.
Yeah. Like, oh, I've got all this for this much. So there was one that I took you to, didn't I, where we were really up against it in terms of, I think we were coming into the season or something was about to happen, or we were buying more chairs or something. We had to sort of find a bigger premises, and we were across two or three containers amongst garages, wasn't it? It was our first sort of main unit, and I found it via sort of a loose sort of family friend. And I remember we just like walked into it, and looking back at it, it wasn't a particularly nice unit at all. But, you know, they told us the rate of it. And then we walk inside, and it wasn't even that large.
No, it wasn't. But I was like, where can I sign? Sign me up, please.
This is nuts.
Yeah.
You heard a chorus of angels singing.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next warehouse that I found, And it had like a shutter door, and I was like, oh my gosh. And those kind of accomplishments were really big. And just like, I don't know, that just really, we definitely celebrated those moments, because as a hire business, storage is one of the biggest issues and headaches. So every time we got a new unit, we really celebrated that. And when we moved into our one in October, that was obviously, we were extremely pleased with that. Obviously with the award.
That's a big one.
That was a massive time that we really made sure that we stepped back and realized what had happened and just celebrated it.
And it's probably individual events like...
like that Indian wedding for me. I just felt so good after it. I was like, we've worked hours and hours and it's come together and it's been amazing. And the high you get from it is just kind of...
But I was going to say the grandeur of some of the venues we go to. So the Tower of London, for example. I remember going to that for the first time.
Winning the award as well for us was a massive moment where we felt incredibly proud and we just sat back and enjoyed the moment and celebrated it as a full team. Another moment where we've really felt like we've achieved something is when you work with massive brands, brands that we never, ever dreamed that we would ever work with, because we don't only do weddings, we do corporate events as well. And when you get an inquiry from this brand that you've been using or listening to or seeing for years and years and just think they're massive, and then they inquire to use your props.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, okay, so what brings you joy right now in your business?
The new warehouse is so much more efficient.
Yeah.
You know, we used to do midnight collections and turnarounds where we would sort of, you know, arrive at the unit and we'd have to get through several gates manually, whereas now electronic gates straight up to the shutter.
Electric shutter.
Back to the factory, you know, all the stuff. So, I know, it sounds...
The electric shutter brings you joy right now.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, so much joy.
Yeah, so then we get the items straight into location, straight into the racking, and it's like, oh, we're just so much more efficient. But if you want a quick answer, electric shutter.
Electric shutter brings us joy.
What about you, Holly?
I mean, even things like our trolleys, like we've named them because they bring us so much joy because they help us out so much at every event.
True.
And now we're like in our peak wedding season, right? So we are constantly in vans, unloading, loading. So anything that can help us speed up our delivery process or make it less stressful on your back. Like
our little
it's really
ramp that goes on the back of the van.
The smallest things make us happy.
Yeah.
Sad, really.
Well, when you started this, you thought, man, I'm going to get to be able to create beautiful events. And now you really just run a glorified moving company, right?
No,
yeah,
you are
it's
absolutely
true.
Right. Contact us saying, oh, we want to work for you. We want to create all these like amazing events that like we can do X and Y. And then they'll say at the end of it, it's like, it can only work between these hours, can't lift heavy boxes, can't drive large vehicles. You know what I mean? And not willing to work for X.
Yeah.
And you think like, well, you're sort of...
Don't think we're the right fit, really.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, sometimes what it is very different than what you imagined it would be.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. We're going to go into our lightning round here. So I'm going to ask you questions, and these are real quick fire questions. What piece in your collection would you most like to take home today?
Clio seating area.
Okay. Charlie, think of your best team member and describe them to me in three words or less.
It would be Linda, which is Holly's mother.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, she's going to be up there. And the three words would be dependable, resourceful, and caring.
Oh, lovely. Activity you do to spark creativity when you're worn out.
Go for a nice walk, a dog walk.
A business book you'd recommend.
I listen to a lot of podcasts rather than books.
That's fine. You can
listen to the
that.
Karen Brady one.
Yeah, Karen Brady's book I loved. I read that so quickly. So yeah, that's probably my answer.
Okay. What's the book called?
Strong Woman, The Truth About Getting to the Top.
How many square feet in your warehouse?
Don't know exactly, which is awful. I know it's quick fire. I'd say roughly 3,000 square feet.
Okay, final question, and I want each of you to answer this. What do you enjoy most about your hire adventure?
The places it takes us and the things it allows us to do. So January, we don't do any events. And for us, mentally. I think this really spurs us on all year. But in January, we don't do any events. And we try and go skiing because we are just working on admin and we can take our laptops anywhere. We try and take that month. Well, this year we're trying to take it and going skiing for the month, which sounds very glamorous, but it's kind of our way of motivating us to get through the year.
Of course.
And it's just kind of our way of celebrating.
I think for me, it would be the self-sufficiency in terms of income. The idea that something that Holly and I do together generates a revenue and an income of which we can live by, you know, quite comfortably. You know, we're not multimillionaires by any means, but we're living by, you know, quite comfortably. I still can't quite wrap my head around it, you know, thinking from as a child, I wanted to sort of, you know, work up in London like every sort of, I suppose, kid at school gets sort of channeled towards, you know, of which you're working for a huge corporation and you've got very little control over sort of the decisions that could be made. Whereas now it's like we're in charge of everything, you know, we make the money and then that money, you know, eventually minus costs and taxes and whatever else end up in our back pocket, which is just a very, very surreal and satisfying idea.
Can you believe this is our job?
I know, no. Alison, I love that. I'm going to get that tattooed on me one day. I really am. Can you believe me, this for a living?
Oh, well, it was wonderful to chat with you. Thank you so much for sharing about your adventures and your journey. It is really great to connect with you.
Oh, well, thank you so much for the opportunity as well. You've been a massive part of our journey.
Yeah.
You know, again, efficiency-wise, you've been, you know, RW Elephant's been a massive component in us being able to sort of scale further and just lessen the time on the laptop, really. I mean, you know, the sort of busy times in summer when you're working all weekend and midweek.
Yeah, and apparently now you can run your business from the slopes, so...
Well,
yeah.
There
we
go.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, have a great rest of your day and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Take care, Alison.
Bye.
Bye.
A big thank you to Holly and Charlie of Locate to Create. You can find all their info in the show notes. And a big thank you for listening to The Trunk Show, brought to you by RW Elephant, mighty inventory management software designed to help you conquer the chaos in your event rental business and reclaim your creativity. Because the world needs more of the beautiful events and environments you create. We hope you enjoyed the show. We're releasing episodes every other week, so be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast app. As always, I'm your host, Allison Howell. Happy renting!